the chants we do in the evening before the meditation are meant to put you in the right frame of mind to do the meditation. Pointing out skillful ways of thinking, whether it's contemplating the body, issues of aging, illness, death, karma, thoughts of goodwill, reflection on the nature of the world. All of these are designed to remind you of how important it is to meditate, and to remind you of your motivation for meditation, whether it's to find something solid in the midst of the world, or as an expression of goodwill. It's useful to remember each time you sit down to meditate or you do walking meditation, of why you're doing it, the importance of what you're doing. So you do with an attitude of the proper respect and attention. In other words, you don't just go through the motions, or you don't treat it casually. This is important work we're doing here. But it's easy for the mind to forget, so we keep reminding ourselves. Because thinking like this is an important part of the meditation. So many times people have the idea that we're trying to learn how not to think. We're trying to get the mind away from its conditioning simply by stopping any language going through our mind. But the Buddha's instructions on meditation involve a lot of thinking, training the mind to think in skillful ways. In other words, his concern isn't like psychotherapy, which tries to trace your thoughts back to their origins, but focuses on where the thoughts are going to go. Where do they lead? Do they lead you where you want to go? And he gives some recommendations and ways of thinking that really are helpful. And you'll find as you carry through these ways of thinking, part of your mind is going to resist. For example, you develop thoughts of goodwill. There may be a little voice in the back of the mind saying, well, I don't really feel goodwill for these people. Or I don't give a damn about where my thoughts are leading. I want to think about this. And don't think that the purpose of these directed exercises and thinking are to smother up those other thoughts or to pretend they don't exist. Actually, their purpose is to dig them out. If the question of how you think about the beings of the world isn't brought up, you can sail merrily along with all sorts of mixed motives, all sorts of mixed attitudes, not really being aware of what you're doing or how your attitudes are coming out in your actions. Or if you have that apathetic feeling that it doesn't really matter what I do, so I might as well just do what I like, it's good to know that it's there. Then you can deal with it. So if you find these argumentative thoughts coming up in your mind, take note of the fact. Ask yourself, are you ready to dig into them? If you're not, you can continue with the meditation and leave them for the time being, but you know they're there. And this is important. As John Lee once said, to practice is to learn about your defilements, the things that hide under the surface and exert a lot of pressure on your life, a lot of influence on your life, often without your knowing it. And you're a lot better off knowing they're there, even if you can't quite deal with them yet. But you're in a better position knowing that they're there and they're going to have to be dealt with. Sometimes just bringing them to the surface is enough to make you realize that you don't want to identify with those thoughts. If apathy comes up, you look at it. Do you really want to side with that? You look at the lives of other people who are apathetic. Where do they go? Or that voice in your mind that has ill will for this group of people, that group of people. Is that a voice that you really want to identify with? Remember, you have the choice. We're not here to decide what we really think about things. We're here to see where thinking goes and how to use our thinking in skillful ways. This is part of the training. It's like when you're in training for a marathon. Once you've made up your mind that you really do want to run the marathon, then you've got to deal with the parts and the thoughts in the mind that resist. Some of them you just push out of the way as being totally ludicrous or totally out of line with your real aspirations. And others you have to sit down and work through. But the fact that you've made an aspiration is important. And if you decided there's one that you really want to hold to, then you owe it to yourself to work through all your resistance. Because so many of us go through lives without any kind of aspiration at all. And here as we're meditating, we've got a big one. Putting an end to suffering. And as the Buddha points out, in the course of that, you've got to learn to deal with skillful and unskillful thoughts. Skillful being defined as the thoughts that lead in the direction of putting an end to suffering, and unskillful ones leading in the other direction. But at least you've made it clear to yourself where you want to go. That in and of itself is an important accomplishment. Even if you haven't devoted yourself 100% in that direction, it's important that at least the issue is raised. Again, so many of us go through life without even thinking about where it's headed. Maybe thinking about it a little bit here and there, but not in any concerted way. Not in a way that makes us sit down and look at our lives. For a lot of people, thinking about the general trajectory of their lives is pretty depressing, so they push it away. And big issues like aging, illness, and death just get pushed off to the side until they can't be pushed off. And then you're not ready to deal with them. Often they hit precisely when you're at your weakest point. And if you haven't prepared for them, they've got you while you're down. Here, at least, their issues are raised. You've got to ask yourself, while you're healthy, while you're young enough, while you're still alive, what are you going to do to prepare when aging, illness, death, and separation come along? And you're actually given a course of practice, something to train in, to help you when those things happen. So when you're given a practice, whether it's through the precepts or the contemplations that the Buddha recommends, it's not that you're going into denial, pretending that you don't want to break a precept or pretending that you don't feel feelings of ill will. They're more to raise the issue. Do you really believe that your actions are important? Do you really believe that it's important to be skillful in your actions? Do you believe that your thoughts are important? That it's important to be skillful in your thoughts? Take some time to probe into those questions, because they're important ones. If you let yourself get sucked in by the media out there, they would rather that you not ask those questions. That you lead a very short-sighted life. So this is an act of resistance here. It's also an act of wisdom. So in a particular reflection that we have, a particular contemplation we have, brings up uncomfortable issues in the mind, realize that that's part of its purpose, is to bring up those uncomfortable reactions, if they're there. If they're not there, you're fine. If they are there, you want to know. And as I said, sometimes when they come up, they just wither away in the light of your awareness. Other times you realize that these are rocks that were hidden under the water. The water's lowered a little bit. Now you see that there are big rocks down there. And you may not be in a position to take them up, but at least you can avoid them for the time being, knowing that someday you're going to have to clear the channels. And so it's that much more important that you work on your tools, the tool, mindfulness, concentration, discernment, so you can dig out those rocks. And they're no longer in the way.